Scripture reading for today is Psalm 5, verses 2 and 3. Psalms 5, verses 2 and 3. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. May God bless the reading of his word.
Heavenly Father, let thy word be true. Let the word speak to our hearts and minds and help us to see the message that you would share with us today. Father, please speak through me and may the words not be my own. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but there's a lot of sensational things that are happening in the news today. When I just sit down and I think about all the things that are happening, you know, there was the ocean container that hit the bridge in Baltimore that knocked the bridge down. There is an earthquake in New York City yesterday. There's only been like 20 earthquakes on the East Coast in the last 70 or 80 years. It was actually north of New York City, but it was like 4.7 on the Richter scale. 4.8, yeah. There's signs of the times that are happening all around us. There's a lot of people are talking about this eclipse that are happening. In fact, that's where some of our people are today. We went down to Southern Illinois to go check it out in the darkest part down there. So, state of Indiana has declared a state of emergency for Monday already, because of this eclipse. I mean, and there's just a lot of things that are going on today. And I'm not one of the folks that's saying that, and it's a sign that Jesus is coming again, but I'm afraid to say that it isn't, because there's signs in the times, there's signs in the air that this world is waxing old like a garment. And we get so tied up with when you look at the news cycle, when you look at the things that are happening all around us, it's overwhelming at times. And we have this goal, we have this vision that we want to go to heaven. Do you guys want to go to heaven? You guys tired of living in this junky place? I can't wait. I really, truly can't wait. I want to live in a place where you're not worried about what your future is going to be or what it's going to be. And the Bible has promised so many wonderful things. And that's where our psalm comes from today. Jesus fascinates me because he grew up knowing that he would be the Messiah. He grew up knowing that he would be laying down his life for mankind. Somehow, as he was growing up, his mother and his father and his adopted father were able to instill in him the Holy Scriptures and give him the vehicle he needed to connect to God directly to his father himself. By the time he was 13, he was already going about doing the will of the Father. How would we react if you knowing that your life was going to end in this horrible tragedy, you're going to be hung on a cross, you're going to be crucified, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be spit upon. But he had this calm spirit about him. The scriptures that he had came from the Old Testament. A lot of people say that, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. That's the scriptures that Jesus had. These are the promises that he was fulfilling. The old is the root, the new is the fruit. The two are inseparable. And so this is the mindset that Jesus had with his disciples, with everybody. This is what Jim just read. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. What are you doing when you're meditating? You're not sitting Indian style going, trying to clear your brain. When you're meditating, you're letting the word of God fill your soul. You're thinking about God, and you're letting him teach you while you meditate upon his word. This is what the scripture is talking about here. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, O my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Why was he crying out? Why was he searching for God? Because things in his life really weren't that great. Or maybe they were, but he didn't understand why these things were this, what Psalmist David was writing these things. For unto thee will I pray, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. For thou art a God that hath pleasure, that hath not pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. David was looking around at this world and he's saying, wow, how horrible. Things really haven't changed. Just the methods and the things that we do to each other now on earth are far more effective and far more quick, but the evil that lurks within men's hearts really hasn't changed that much. And David was full of it. He's full of the sadness, and he's like, you know what, Lord? I don't know what's happening here, but I'm going to lift up to you. I'm going to put my heart with you in the morning, and I'm going to cry out to you, and then God is going to deliver me, whatever that is. He says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful men. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make way the straight before my face. He says, whatever is happening in this world right now, all the sensational things that we are being bombarded with, it's just overwhelming. When you really think about it, we're through our eyes, our ears, our nose, through the sensations of the world, we're taking in so much propaganda, and it's all coming from the same place. I don't care what your political affiliations are, which bank you go to, or whatever it is that this ism that we tend to follow, at the root of all that is Satan. He's the one that's leading the world. He's the one that's world behind all the world powers that are shaping the worlds that's happening before us. And we're being so worked up with this, all this overwhelming stuff, that we get into a panic. You know how the lions hunt? The lions, what they do is, the pride of lions will come up across and they'll look over the plain and they'll see a herd of gazelle or giraffe or whatever they're going to hunt. And what they do is they go, meow, they meow the other, and what they'll do is they have this code, and they'll go, and the lionesses will go out and surround the herd. They'll creep down really low, and they'll surround the herd. And then what the male lion will do from their pride is, once the lionesses are in place, he goes, roar, it makes a really loud roar, and it sends the herd into a panic, and they go running into the waiting lions that are out there. Okay. Scripture tells us that Satan is seeking to devour much prey as a roaring lion. He's trying to get us scared to the point that we're running into his traps that he's laid all around us. And the trouble is, even those of us who believe in God, those of us who read the scriptures, those of us who love God and want to do the right thing, we're so full of our worldly cares, we're so full of just trying to make it through a day and just so listening to all the things that are happening there, that we don't spend time with God. We get caught up in the cares of this world, and even us who should know better get caught up in the garbage of this world. Whatever that roar is, whatever is happening around the world, I mean, I try to think back of all the different world cataclysmic events that were happening, you know. There are just so many of them, you can't remember them all. If you just go back 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, you can't remember them all. And it's all by design. It's all by design to keep us unsettled. It's all about to bring world power into a centralized location. And we know where all that's coming from. Prophecy tells us where that's coming from. But we start to blame political organizations. We blame the banking systems. We blame churches. We blame all kinds of things, but where it's coming from is one central location, and it's Satan himself. Amen. Prophecy tells us that it's going to come together, and the Bible is telling us Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people. So Revelation 14 tells us to remember him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is talking about going back to the basics and remembering, just going back to the 10 commandments and faithfully serving God with all that. So if you continue on with that Psalm chapter 5, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy because of the defendest them. Our God is our defender. Whatever is going on in your life right now, God is your defender. And so the world will say, oh, well, where is he? What's this happening? If we pay attention, you will see God working in your life. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous, and favor will thou compass him as with a shield. These are the promises that we need to have at the very core of our being, because the earth is going to shake. The powers that be are going to be moving about. And there's a lot of things that can get us all worked up about different, what about this or what about that? If I don't have my foundation secure with God, then I'm going to be lost in the shuffle. In Matthew 26, we read about where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was facing the worst thing that could ever happen to human, let alone God. He knew he had just celebrated the Passover with his disciples. He was just about to partake of the worst treatment of any human being ever. He was the worst treatment of any God ever. for the sins of the people that millions and billions and trillions of people, for this entire world, not just his sins alone. And he went into this very interestingly. The disciples had come out of this meeting with the communion, and they were still arguing amongst themselves about who would be the greatest. They were still talking about, well, hey, then once we get in there, I'll be on the right side and you'll be on the left, and then we'll be able to make this decision and not. Judas Iscariot thought, well, hey, either Jesus is full of beans and we don't need it. You know, either this is going to fall apart and I sold him for 30 pieces of silver and I'm free and I got free of this, so I worked with him and now I got free from this. Or he's truly the Messiah, he's going to come down off the cross and I'm going to be the right hand of God. This is a win-win for me. Judas Iscariot, this is what he was thinking that day. So they went that night to this Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went there knowing what he's going to face, right? The disciples went there with a head full of this knowledge of, okay, I'm going to worry about this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And Jesus said, I'm going to betray him. Nope, I'm not going to betray him. I got this, no problem. You know, so much that they didn't understand. Or so much that Jesus tried to convey to them, but they didn't get it. And you know what? If the disciples who walked with Jesus for 3.5 years didn't get it, don't feel bad if you're still a little confused about things. It's okay. You're in good company. You're in really good company. But Matthew 26, verse 30, 32. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended me because of this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But when after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for what was about to come. Were they listening? Kind of. Not really. Peter answered and said to him, well, though men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said unto him, lo, I should die with you. I will never deny you. And all the disciples were like, yeah, me too. We won't deny you. What could Jesus say? He said, look, if people aren't listening, how much more does it do to get you to keep talking? You know, does that really make a difference? Jesus is like, oh, you'll figure it out. And there's this awesome patience that was in the Lord, because he says, in the last one, or he says, but after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So he said, look, I know you guys think you got this right now. Okay, but here's the deal. When this is all over, I'm going to meet up with you guys again. So that was a message of hope. It was a promise to meet up with them in spite of what was going on between their ears. I find such hope in that. That's just so cool. All right, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. I don't know that the disciples really, this was a regular occurrence for Jesus to go off into the garden place and to pray at night. For these disciples, it was probably just another night, although it was in their Passion Week, although it was these promises that were happening. God did speak from heaven, from the temple, as Jesus was leaving for the last time. They were seeing things happen that, you know, were just, it was so much, it was hard to take it all in. He says, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to become sorrowful and very heavy. His heart became very heavy. Then saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. Jesus nearly died just there in the Garden of Gethsemane. God had not ministered to him then and there, he would not have made it to Calvary. I can only imagine what my sins feel like and the guilt that I carry. It's interesting to note, when you talk about, there's a couple things in this life that we just never, we're not equipped to deal with. Number one is death, okay? We're never built to deal with death. It was never supposed to happen, and so God didn't put that vehicle in our brain to cope with it, and that's why it hurts every single time, okay? And the other thing that we were never built to deal with is guilt. God never intended that we should sin, so now that we have this guilt in our hearts, we don't have any way to cope with it. The only way to cope with it is to give it to Jesus. If I cope with it, I take drugs, I do stupid things, I drink myself to oblivion, I go out and do dumb things, I do crazy stunts. I mean, there's other ways that you try to cope with that. God never gave us the vehicle to cope with guilt except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that's it. My soul is exceedingly heavy. So my point was there, if I know what my sin feels like, I can't imagine what billions and billions and billions and billions of people's guilt sitting on my shoulders would feel like. Jesus sweat great drops of blood. He was stressed to the point where his capillaries were starting to burst within his skin, and the blood was leaking out through his skin. That's stress. I've been stressed before. I ain't never been stressed like that before. Watch with me. And he only had one request. Okay, guys, look. I don't fully expect you guys to understand this, but what I want you to do, just sit here with me. Just be a good friend. Watch with me. That's all I ask. Do you think they could do it? No. Their heads were so full of worldly ambition. Their heads were so full of this coming kingdom. Their heads were so full of all this stuff that was going on in the world. How would Pontius Pilate react to the way this is going? How is Rome going to be shushed out of Jerusalem? And how are these things going to happen? All these things were running through their head, and Jesus was like, dude, pray with me, please. And he went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but that thou wilt. And he cometh to the disciples and he findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, you guys are killing me. What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And we look at what other people do and we say, well, what was wrong with them? Why couldn't they do that? And I know that in my own heart, Jesus has looked at me and says, what, could you have not walked with me for 1 hour? Could you not just had the fortitude to hold on for just a little bit more? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're in a battle that you don't understand. There's things that are happening in this world that are far beyond anything that you can comprehend. What is it, the scripture that says our warfare is not with the principalities and powers, but it's not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and spiritual darkness in high places. This is far beyond anything that you can handle. As far as anything, so we say, it's watch and pray. We're in a battle. And Jesus is telling us to watch and to pray. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, this cup, if so," he's asking God, the human being in him is like, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But if not, then I will do your will. And God's like, you got to do this. Except I drink for that thy will be done. And he went and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them away, went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Jesus understood. However heartbreaking that was for him, the human being in him, to see the heartbreak of his friends who were not able to help him out, to leave him in his time of trouble. He's nearly dying here, right? And his friends are like sound asleep, completely unaware. It's like, hey, can you not see what's going on here? But through that heartbreak, he's like, rest, because something worse is just about to happen to you. Then cometh him to his disciples and said unto them, sleep now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand, he that doth betray me. And something interesting happened here. That's when they rose to their feet. That's when they said, whom seek ye? And it says, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. Boof, the whole crowd gets knocked on their backside. They get back up. They're trying to regroup. The disciples are taking all this in, right? So then they come over to grab Jesus. Peter grabs his sword and chops the guy's ear off. He's going to be this great defender of Jesus Christ, right? And good for him that he would defend his Lord and be willing to do that for God, right? Jesus is like, oh, you guys. You guys. And the thing is, when Jesus saw Judas coming with that throng of people, he wasn't rising to his feet. He wasn't trying to run. He had been watching, and he had been praying. And he knew that God's will was being done. He quietly succumbed, or quietly surrendered to God's plan, and let that happen behind him. He wasn't taken back by it. He wasn't surprised by it. It wasn't shocking to him. But for the disciples, whose heads were full of all worldly ambition and all that other garbage, it was quite a shock to them. They did deny their Lord. They did. Scripture actually says that Peter, not only did he deny him, but he denied him cursing. And then on that night, when the rooster crowed, Peter was in that crowd. He looked across the crowd. Jesus heard the rooster crow too. Jesus and Peter, they locked eyes across the commons, and Peter's heart broke, shattered into a million pieces. All their hopes and dreams had been shattered in one moment. When they saw Jesus on the cross, all their hopes and dreams had been shattered. All their worldly ambitions were gone, and now they were marked men that they knew that they were probably going to be marked for death too. And when they had, so I want to go back to this here. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, as written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. So here they were, a scattered flock. And they remembered his words. He says, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. You guys know where Jesus' ministry started? Galilee, that's right. You know where his first miracle was? Not far from Galilee. His first miracle that he did with his disciples was fishing. That's right. Jesus, He sees the disciples. They're out there fishing on the boat. And he says that they'd never been fishing all night. They didn't catch anything. He repeated the miracle that had been done before. Throw your net over on the other side. Do what doesn't make sense to your brain. It's not what fishermen do, right? After a long night, you throw your nets over on the wrong side of the boat and see what happens. But when God commands something to happen, miracles happen. And what happened is Jesus took his disciples back to the place where they all began, the place where he started calling the 12. So they had they walked with Jesus, they learned about him, they had all their worldly ambitions crushed and defeated, and then Jesus took them by the hand and he says, okay, now come with me. Now that you're teachable, now that you're listening, let's go back and do the first lessons again. Our God is a God of new beginnings. Our God has been able to take us from where we were and to crush out this worldly junk that's in our brain and to make it into something that he can work with us. So wherever we are in that process, I don't know. And the thing is, I'm so marveled at how each and every one of us are so different and we're in such a different place spiritually. It's just kind of cool. And yet, God knows how to deal with each one of us individually. How cool is that? God is working in a million different ways and a million different possibilities to give us each one exactly what we need. But Jesus, he went back to the beginning. And so he went back to Galilee and started teaching the miracles all over again. Peter, do you love me? And Peter has a broken heart at this point. He's like, Lord, I don't deserve any of this stuff. He said, do you love me? I said, yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? I already answered your question, dude. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Feed my lambs. So it was through the heartbreak of the disappointment of things not working out the way you hoped that they would, that Jesus is able to kind of finally get through into the nonsense of our lives and say, okay, are you listening now? Good, because let's go forward now. He's patient, he's kind, he's loving. It just floors me how awesome God's love is. And you see this, and this is in 1 Peter. This is a mature Peter at the end of his life. This is a mature man who had been serving the gospel. So that after Jesus went back up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples were dispersed abroad because Jerusalem was a very dangerous place, number one. And number two, the gospel had been sent to the Gentiles, right? So Peter was preaching all over the place. He ended up in Rome, of all places, Rome. So this is a mature man who had been through the heartbreak, who'd been through the retraining, and he'd been walking with God. He knew the scriptures, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. If things aren't working out in your life all right right now, that's okay, because God is working on a new beginning for you. Unto a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope. So it's not just I go to church, you know, whatever. This is a lively hope that God is living in you, that he's working within you, and he's glowing out of you. And so I pray that's your experience and that you can have that experience if we just surrender our hearts to God. It says, to an inheritance, incorruptible, means it cannot be fouled up, not undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be revealed, I lost my place there, to be revealed in the last time wherein you greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter's saying, look, I've been there, I understand, and I understand the temptations that you're going through. Jesus understood the temptations that you're going through. Peter understood them because he had Christ's Spirit working through him. So even though your life has some burdens to it, even though there's some troubles in your life and all that, God is working through you, and this is the promise that's been given to us through Scripture. Stay the course. Stand firm. God is awesome. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again, and he was going to find his church I don't know how, but we've been promised he is going to find his church ready when he comes again. And that's all this trouble and tribulation and this nonsense we see in the papers and the news feeds and all that. It's just preparations for Jesus to come again. It's to shake the barnacles off. It's to shake off the things of this world that don't belong and are not going to heaven. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Just don't be like the world. God wants us to grow out of where we are into what he wants us to be. But he which hath called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Okay, so I guess we need to address that one there. What is holy? Because we think of something holy as, you know, like a shiny light and the angels going, oh, in the background. Holy means set apart for God's purposes. Holy and sanctification kind of work together. It's the same definition. It means that we have been set apart for God's work, that we are no longer walking in this world, but we're walking for the Lord Jesus Christ and letting him serve through us. And in whatever temptations you're fighting with this world, is because the world is trying to pull us back. The world's always trying to pull me back in. Satan doesn't say, oh, okay, we'll see you later. I miss you now. It doesn't work like that. And in the sinful nature that's in us, God doesn't immediately take it from us. How I wish he did sometimes. But I appreciate the fact that he's so willing and so patient to take and to help me see the depth and the height and the width of the horribleness of the sin that I choose to live sometimes. And I'm not always thankful, but I should be. We should thank God in all things. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. It's 1 Peter 4. This is the same words that Jesus was teaching. This is the same words that Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples. He was trying to tell them, watch unto prayer. See, I know this, that we're all in a different place spiritually. I know that we're all in a different place where we understand the scriptures and the different things that are happening. But the cool thing about God is he's telling us, it doesn't matter where you are right now. Watch and pray. He has given us his Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us when something comes along that if we don't understand what's going on, if we watch and we pray, then God will tell us what needs to be, whether we're doing right or whether we're doing wrong. And part of that is to having scripture in our hearts and minds. If they speak not to the law and the testimony, it's because there's no light in them. Okay? So our goal now is to be so full of the scriptures that when you see something happening in the world, you put it through the filter of scripture, then you can realize that God will be able to speak to you. No, this is right. Or yes, this is right. No, this is wrong. But that doesn't happen by accident. This happens because we deliberately and willfully allow the Lord of light into our hearts and minds. Watch unto prayer. And these are something that anybody at any level of faith, at any level of Bible knowledge can do. God is calling us to do this right here, right now. And so when we see all the insanity of the nonsense of the world, we don't have to be overwhelmed by it or troubled by it or try to keep track of it all and say, oh, is this a sign of this coming? We know that the end is near, okay? If you follow all of the prophecies that were talked about in Matthew 24, all the time prophecies are filled in Revelation. All the time prophecies are fulfilled in Daniel. And in the epistles, it talks about in the end times, of men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be greedy and, you know, all the different lists. Those are all being fulfilled before our very eyes. But like the disciples, we can't be so caught up with the cares of this world and all the nonsense of this world that we don't realize where we're at and what God's trying to do. Amen. I'm going to share something. This is Acts of the Apostles. This is something I found last night. It's so cool. It says, but talking about John the disciple, but beneath all the divine teacher discerned, this is talking about John, but beneath all this, the divine teacher discerned the ardent, sincere, loving heart. Jesus saw that potential in John, and he was willing to work with that, okay? Let's just listen how he works with that. Jesus rebuked his self-seeking. Jesus rebuked his disappointed his ambitions, tested his faith. That's not always what you hear in church. Like, if God really loves you, this is what he's going to do. He's going to challenge your ambitions. He's going to test your faith. He's going to disappoint your ambitions. He's going to test your faith. That is a loving God, and that's what he does, so that he can get us in the right frame of mind so that we can go forward here. But he revealed to him that for which his soul longed, the beauty of holiness, the transforming power of love. That's how John was able to sit there on the Isle of Patmos and see his Savior again and write down the prophecies that would come up at the end of time. Jesus, yeah. So back to our original hymn, our original psalm here. This is the mindset that Jesus had going into some of the most horrific events that have ever happened into the universe. This is how he could go forward and do it. It was an implicit trust in his Father. Give ear to my words, O my Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house with a multitude of mercy, and when I fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O God, O Lord, in the righteousness because of mine enemies, makes way the straight before my face. Whatever's happening in the world right now, don't let it spook you. We are in a war. We are seeing things that have never been seen before and hopefully never be seen again. It's all the fruit of Satan's war that started in heaven that creeped out into our world, and it will have an end. We have a mission to do, and that's to share the three angels' messages, to go out and tell people, tell the world what great things he has done for you, and to not get caught up in all the hoopla and all the hype of that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and do you know what they're doing over here, and do you know what they're doing over there? It's a distraction. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And Scripture tells us, and when these things begin to come, look to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for redemption draweth nigh. We're not that far off now, folks. We are not that far off, and Jesus is going to take us home. What we have to do is be faithful and keep our hearts and minds fixed with the watch unto prayer. And Jesus will lead his children home. This is my prayer for you, that we would be able to look beyond the nonsense of this world and it's in our own crazy lives, because our lives are crazy. They are. They're insane. But the God of the universe knows where you are and what you need, and he's looking after us today. We have to never break that communion with him in heaven. Let's pray. Father, glorious Lord, help us to never break that communion with you. Help us to face each day, whatever happens, to stand firm for what we know to be true, for what the conviction that you have given us is to stand upon. And Father, help us through your might, through your strength, go forward wherever possible and share that word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.